The Word of God this evening. I want you to open your Bibles, first of all, in Genesis chapter 2, but do keep them open. We're just going to read one verse, and then we're coming over to Genesis chapter 24. We want to spend the next two Lord's Day evenings. We want to look at relationships and courtship, and if you're here tonight and you're thinking, boy, if I had known that, I wouldn't have come. You just sit tight. You sit tight and hear what the Lord has to say this evening, and we... Next week we want to look at, tonight we're looking at finding the right person. Next week we want to look at being the right person. And we'll get into the nuts and bolts next week. We're going to set the scene for you this evening. And we trust this will be a help and encouragement, not just to our young people, but also to parents of young people. Big decisions they'll be facing in the future. And we trust that the teaching of the word of the Lord will prove to be a help to you. Now next Sunday evening, Rebecca Roberts will be here to minister in song. Don't you be telling her that I said our young people are better. Don't you say a word. But Rebecca's a lovely singer. You'll enjoy that. And I'm hoping that we can have a cup of tea after the service next Sunday evening. Next Sunday evening will be my last Sunday in the church. I know there's another Sunday. I'm away the last Sunday of the month. And then we're moving into the drive-in church. So I always think it's nice to have a wee cup of tea here before we abandon the building and head out to the market yard. It also will be very close to my fifth anniversary. You've put up with me for 5 years. Now, I don't want a cake, but you've put up with me for 5 years, and so we'll just have a little night next, a Lord's Day evening after the gospel service, if you can keep that in mind. I don't know what team is on, whether it's team 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or the A team or B team, but whatever team it is, hopefully that'll not be a problem for next Sunday. That's the catering team, that is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And we trust God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. The responsibilities that God placed upon a man were such that he knew that the man would need a helpmeet. And it's God's will for most men and women that they will marry. Now let me say this from the outset. It's not more spiritual to be married or unmarried. It's a personal choice. Sometimes God makes it clear to someone that that's not the path that they wanted them to go. For others, God makes it clear that is the route that they want to go. Yes, for most people, they will be married. But whether you're married or unmarried, there's no indication of your spiritualness. I think what you want to ask is what circumstance will enable me to serve the Lord most effectively for whatever the Lord has called me to do. So just bear that in mind this evening. Tonight, as I said, I want to look at finding the right person. Now, if you're married this evening, please don't go home and say that you've blundered. And tell her the pastor has said, I've got the wrong one on your back. Please don't do that, or I'll be in big trouble this evening. I heard about a farmer who was looking a wife. The farmer wants a wife. You know he's always looking a wife. And he put an ad in the Farming Life. Wife wanted 35 years of age. Woman wanted with view to matrimony. Must have a tractor. And then a PS. Please send a photograph of the tractor. So you can see what he was interested in. Another person was so desperate for a man. She left a note out for Santa Claus. Dear Santa Claus, help me if you can. I've hung up a pair of trousers. Please shove in a man. Now, I'm sure none of you tonight are as desperate as that. It's a serious matter for our young people this evening. Is it a matter of going out with as many people as possible and eventually, well, you'll get the right one? Well, of course, that's not God's way. We'll say a little bit more about that next week. We will look at more of the nuts and bolts next week. But it's not God's will for you to try out as many as possible. It's selfish, it's sinful, and sometimes you can really hurt someone's emotions. And I'll say a bit more about that, as I said, next week. That's not God's will for you. We will see how indeed God puts these things together. Is it right to maybe break up a couple? A young couple who've been going out for some time and you feel that you would like to go out with this person and you could interfere and break up that relationship. Is that right? Again, I think you're playing with people's hearts and you have to be very, very careful. Over the next 2 weeks, I want to build up a picture over the 2 weeks. And I think it's important that you try and hear both messages. You'll not get all the answers tonight, but I hope over the 2 weeks we'll build a fairly comprehensive picture of how God would deal with these things. It's not a matter of getting a list. I'm not going to give you a list of rules. And you check all the rules. I don't want to take away from the romance of falling in love and all sorts of things that many people have experienced. But I believe there is practical help and there is advice in the Word of God. I want you to come over to Genesis chapter 24. I just read that verse earlier on to show that it was God's will for most men to be married. But this chapter, Genesis chapter 24, is the longest chapter in Genesis. It really is a love story. And what I say tonight in the main will be based on Genesis chapter 24. And that's what we want to spend our time in this evening. I want to talk first of all about the concern that is paramount. You see, we have many important decisions to make in life. And marriage is one of the most important decisions. I would say the second most important decision. It's a significant step. It's an important step. It has to be handled carefully and very prayerfully. But let me say it's not the most important decision in life. The most important decision in life is what you do with Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 24, it's a story of Abraham, the father, sending out an unnamed servant. Now, we believe his name was Eliezer from other scriptures, but he's not named in Genesis 24. And Eliezer was sent out to find a bride for Abraham's son. You have the father sending out the servant to seek a bride for his son. And that's really what this story is all about. But I believe this story is also a little picture for you this evening. Because God the Father has sent God the Spirit to move throughout this world seeking a bride for his son. And every time someone is saved, they become part of the body and indeed part of the bride of Christ. And so I want you to look down to verse number 58, because when the servant eventually finds Rebecca, she's asked a very important question. Because no matter what had happened, no matter what had fallen into line, this is the most important question in the whole chapter. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Now I want you to forget about the relationships just for a moment. Now I want you to think of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God speaking into your heart tonight. And the occupation of the Spirit of God is to present Christ to you. And the Father has sent the Spirit to seek out a bride for the Son. And the Spirit is saying to you tonight, speaking of Jesus Christ, will you go with this man? Are you ready to step out for Jesus Christ and embrace him by faith this evening and be saved by the grace of God? This is the decision tonight, the most important decision. And so before we think of relationships tonight, what about your soul tonight? Because if you're not saved, this is the most important thing. The most important decision you'll ever make. You see the decision as we think of the concern is paramount. But listen, look at verse 59 in Genesis 24. Because there's dependence here. You see, when Rebecca said, "I'm going to go with the man," she wasn't left on her own. Look at verse 59. "And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant as his men." This unnamed servant accompanies Rebecca the whole way till she reaches home. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? The moment you're saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God remains within you. And is with you right until that day when you see Jesus Christ face to face. You see, you come to Christ tonight and you accept him as your Savior. You're not left to your own devices. You're not left to try and keep this salvation. That's why some people are not saved in this meeting tonight. You think you couldn't keep it. You think you couldn't maintain it. Listen, it's not up to you tonight. You can't do the saving. You can't do the keeping. You have to come with Christ tonight. And the Spirit of God will be with you the whole way through. You see the decision. You see the dependence. The servant was with her and brought her right until she met Isaac the groom. And one day, those of us who are saved, the Spirit of God will be with us. Until we can say face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. You see the decision, you see the dependence. Then think of the destiny here. Look at verse 54. After staying overnight at the home of Rebekah's family, the servant wanted to leave immediately to come to Canaan. He says, send me away unto my master, verse 54. That's what they had promised. Look up at verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. But look what the mother says in verse 55, and the brother. And her mother and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, that she shall not go. Now, here's a subtle ploy. Now, forget about relationships for a moment and forget about this family. But that's a ploy of the devil tonight. You see, you could have in your heart, yes, I want to go with this man. I want to get saved. And Rebecca wanted to go, and they said she was going to go, but here are some people, and they're saying, just wait a few more days. And they hoped that by the time that Rebecca would wait, she would change her mind, and that she would stay put. And the devil wants you to procrastinate. He wants you to wait, and to wait, and to wait. You see, you're not out and out tonight. You're not like some who say, look, I want nothing to do with Christ. You take your Jesus, you keep your Jesus. I want nothing to do with them. That's not you tonight. Tonight you have a desire in your heart to get right with Christ. But you know, something's holding you back. And this was the danger with Rebecca, but the servant would have none of it. And the servant says, we're going. And Rebecca left with the servant. Don't you let the devil put you off tonight. Don't let anyone else put you off tonight. You see, this is the concern that's paramount tonight. We can talk about relationships till you're blue in the face. If you don't know Christ, you haven't got the greatest relationship of all. But then I want to see the compatibility that's precious. You see, I think as we look at Abraham's servant seeking out a bride for Isaac, we're given some great instructions here to help you and I as we seek to find the right person. Look down to verse number 16. First of all, there's physical compatibility. Look what it says of Rebecca. We'll fill in the blanks as we go along. Don't worry, you'll get the whole picture, I promise you, this evening. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. Now, it's talking about Rebecca. And the scripture tells us that she was a good-looking girl. Now, let me tell you, that's where most relationships begin. Most relationships begin with the physical attraction. And let me say this, there's nothing sinful about that. A boy looks at a girl and he's physically attracted and vice versa. That's not sinful. That's not shameful. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But let me say this, if a marriage is based solely on the physical attraction, then it's in for trouble. If you want, you can turn over to the book of Judges. I'll be going back to Genesis 24. Let me read you about a man in Judges 14, and he based his relationship purely on the physical. His name was Samson. And it says in Judges 14, verse 1, that Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He saw the woman. And the moment he saw her, he was physically attracted to her. But you know, she was a Philistine. Verse 2. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistines. Now therefore get her to me for wife. And of course his mum and dad, being good parents, his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He was a spoiled boy. He says, I want her, I have seen her, and I'm going to take her. Verse 8 tells us, after a time he returned to take her. Do you know his wedding barely lasted the honeymoon? Barely lasted the honeymoon. His relationship was based solely on the physical. You see, there's the physical compatibility. But then there's spiritual compatibility. We're back in Genesis chapter 24. And you see, this is more important. Of course the physical is important. But here's the spiritual set aside at verse 3, Genesis 24. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And here's Abraham, he says, Isaac's bride must come from my own people. God had a plan for Isaac. And that plan for Isaac could only be fulfilled if Isaac was to marry someone who loved the Lord. Someone who had the plan and the purpose of God at their heart as well. And Scripture's so clear. Right into the New Testament, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And again, I could tell you about some terrible examples in Scripture. David ignored this. And David married a wife who turned out to be the mother of Absalom, and what a disaster it was. Lot was another man who married an unsaved woman. Now, I'm not talking tonight about a couple who are married and one of them gets saved. I believe the grace of the Lord meets that situation head on. I'm talking tonight about someone who's saved by the grace of God. This book teaches you should not marry an unbeliever. That's what this book teaches. See, if you don't want to marry an unbeliever, don't go out with an unbeliever. This book is so clear. Lot decided he would marry his wife, forget about the word of God, forget about the things of God. What a disaster as he sat grieving in Sodom. And most of his family went to hell. Why is it wrong for you and I? Why is it so dangerous to marry someone who's an unbeliever? Think of the foundation of home life. As a young Christian, you'll want to establish your home on the Word of God. And either you're going to establish it in the Word of God or you're going to set the Word of God aside. And let me tell you, 99 times out of 100, the Word of God is set aside. What about interests? It's great to be married to someone who has the same interests. Interests in the things of God. Loves to come to the meetings. Enjoys the Word of God. Enjoys talking about the Lord. And if you have someone who's an unbeliever, their interests are totally different. You're going in two different directions. It might seem all right during that courtship stage and going out together. There's plenty of fun. There's plenty of activity. But we're talking about spending the rest of your life together. And you're pulling in opposite directions. What about your children? You will want your children to be taken to Sunday school to taught the things of God. But what about your unsaved wife or husband? What about your spiritual life? Do you think you'll be able to grow spiritually in that relationship? I can tell you again from experience, 99 times out of 100, it goes the other way. And I know some good Christians tonight, they married unbelievers and they no longer even bother to go to church. They have absolutely no interest in the things of God. And they have just fallen in to their partner's way of living. And there's no light. And there's no testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know sometimes God in His grace has stepped in and people have been saved. Never use the grace of God as an excuse to sin. Never use God's grace as an opportunity to sin. Now, I said a few weeks ago, there's a challenge here for the people of God. You need to make sure you have opportunities for young people to meet other young people who know and love the Lord. I'm hoping in the future to have something going on in the church. I've spoken to some of the young people and some of the leaders for the older young people where they can have meetings here perhaps one Sunday night a month and try and build up relationships with other young people. I believe as an assembly we have a responsibility to do that for our young people. I would say to the young people tonight, you spend time in the wrong places. You're not going to meet the right girl in the wrong place. And if you're looking in the places that the world has set up in places of worldly entertainment, you're not going to find the right person in the wrong place. It's not just a matter of marrying someone who's saved. Paul puts a little phrase in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. He said, only in the Lord. In other words, do they love the Lord? Do they have a desire to live for God? Do they wish to serve the Lord? And these are questions you need to ask before you enter into a relationship. You see the concern that's paramount tonight, the decision for Christ. You see the compatibility that's precious. There's physical compatibility, there's spiritual compatibility. And then I believe there's something biblical here as well. Now look at verse 6 and verse 8 in our reading this evening. Now I try and explain this. And Abraham says, "Beware that thou bring not my son hither again." Then look at verse 8. "If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thy oath, my oath, only bring not my son thither again." Abraham didn't want Isaac leaving Canaan and going back to Haran. He said, the woman must be willing to leave her home and to come to Isaac. In other words, she must be willing to submit to her future husband. Now let me read what the scripture says, young people. Ephesians 5 verse 22. "Submit yourselves unto your own husbands." And you need to ask yourself the question as you develop relationships. Is this someone I could submit to? Or is she someone who I feel would be submissive in the biblical sense now? I'm not talking, I remember a preacher saying one night, some of God's people would treat their wives the way the Taliban would teach them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about biblical submission. And it works both ways. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Is this someone who will love me the way Christ loves me? Is this someone who will love me unselfishly? Is this someone who will put my needs before his needs? Is this someone I can see who will love me? Because someone who loves you like the Lord loves you, let me tell you, you have no bother with submission. And God's role and God's honor in the home is maintained. As the husband is the head of the home, will he guide the home? Will he supply the home? Will he be concerned with the spiritual needs of the home? Will he give us guidance? Will he give us direction? Spiritual direction and spiritual guidance. Is there going to be that compatibility? Is there that biblical role that each will be willing to fulfill without any bother at all? You see, there's the physical, there's the spiritual, there's the biblical. Then you know there's the practical as well. Again, in our reading this evening, if you look down to verse number 12, I see dependability here. Now I know we're looking at Rebecca here, but this works both ways. And I know a lot of what I'm going to say now happens naturally. As you spend time with someone, you learn about their character and you learn something about them. And this is what the servant was doing. As he viewed Rebecca, what was he going to learn? Look at verse 12 to 14. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou showed kindness unto my master." He was asking for a girl with good character traits. He wanted a girl that had dependability. Verse 11, it was evening, the time that the women would come to draw out water. There she was. She was dependable. Of course, it works both ways. The best ability, as often said, is dependability. Listen, if you're going to marry someone, you need to be able to depend on them. If they're unfaithful in little things, will they be unfaithful in the bigger things? Can you depend on them? Is this something you've seen as you watch that relationship? You see, there's not only dependability here, there's unselfishness here. Verse 14. "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that is appointed for thy servant Isaac." Here's a young girl who's going to stop her work, and she's going to give this stranger a drink, and then she's going to volunteer to water his camels. Listen, she was unselfish. As the relationships develop, is this someone I can depend on? Is this someone who's unselfish? Someone who will think about me and not himself? And of course, again, it works both ways. Then, of course, there's the manners requirement. If you look at verse 18, when she speaks to the servant, she says, "Drink, my lord." Good manners. It's lovely when your son or your daughter or someone forms a relationship and you know you could take them anywhere. You wouldn't care who come into the home because they're mannerly. Are they well-mannered? Do they lose their temper? Are these things you've seen? You see, this happens as you get to know someone. Is it someone who's dependable? Don't worry about the bank balance. Don't worry about how good looking they are. You're talking about spending the rest of your life with this person. Can you depend on them? Are they mannerly? Are they unselfish? Will they put you before themselves? Are they industrious? This young girl was going to water his camels. There wasn't a lazy bone in her body. Let me tell you, if he's lazy before you marry him, he'll be lazy after you marry him. And if she's lazy, she'll just be the same. Are these the qualities? Someone dependable, someone unselfish, someone mannerly, someone industrious. This is the type of character that Rebecca was. Now, I'm sure there's other quality traits that you look for, but this is the sort of person that the servant knew Isaac could spend the rest of his life with. You see the concern that's paramount. You see the compatibility that's precious. You see the courtship that's pure. Now, I'm going to say more about this next week. Over in Genesis 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And I've said it many, many times before that the cleaving comes after the leaving. And sexual relationships outside of marriage is sin. I know the world says safe sex. The Bible says no sex. I'll say a little bit more about this next week. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You're not of your own." You know, the true happiness is found in obedience to the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God says. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Goes on to say, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In Genesis chapter 34, you read about a relationship there, and it says that this man loved her, and he lay with her, and he defiled her. Doesn't matter what you say. Sex outside of marriage is defiling. And say, we'll look a little bit more at the do's and don'ts perhaps next week. Paul says, keep thyself pure. Paul again said, flee fornication. And I say we want to cover that perhaps in a little bit more detail next week. But look at verse 16. Look what it says about Rebecca. And I don't need to say anything. I'm just going to read it. "And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her." The courtship was pure. You see the concern that's paramount. You see the compatibility that's precious. You see the courtship that's pure. Let me say, finally, the confidence that's possible. Can we be sure? Well, you know the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:22. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man." And I've often said before that Eve was in the mind of God before she was in the arms of Adam. And God's a sovereign God. God has someone for you if it's his will for you to be married. And you have to trust the Lord. Now, that doesn't absolve you of your responsibility. I was at a meeting the other Thursday night. Pastor Trevor Gillanders was speaking, and he told us about a young man in one of the churches he was in. And he said, "Pastor, I've fancied this girl for 5 years. And Trevor says to him, well, what have you done about it? He says, I've been praying about it. Have you ever said anything to her? He says, no. He says, well, you need to put feet to your prayers. Yes, you have a responsibility. But behind this all, we have a sovereign God. And look again into Genesis 24. You see, there's a waiting time here. Look at verse 12. And he said, O Lord of my master Abraham, I pray thee. Have you made it a matter of prayer? I'm not expecting our young people to pray it publicly. If they do, that's fine. Parents, have you made it a matter of prayer? You want them to go to the best school. You want them to get the best university. You want them to get the best job. Have you prayed about who they're going to spend their life with? I could take you to young people like you tonight, brought up in the same background. And tonight they're in relationships that are in havoc. And some are married. And some are in bondage of marriage because they ignored the word of God. Are you praying about it? You see, waiting, I believe, involves prayer. Verse 12, he says, I pray thee. There's nothing forced or nothing coerced, and God answers prayer. And not only did Isaac and Rebekah have prayer before they met, but when you read about their relationship, you'll discover that Rebekah was barren, and it says in Genesis 25, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He was a father who prayed. And then later on, you discover Rebekah had trouble when she was expecting the twins, and she went to inquire of the Lord. She was a wife that prayed. A mum and a dad that prayed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You see, your marriage, if you really want to meet the right person, you need to pray about it. And when you're married, you have to keep on praying. You see, there was waiting, there was prayer. But you know, there was patience here. Look at verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, to where the Lord had made his journey. It was a journey. It was a long journey. Are you rushing it? Are you panicking? Young person, you just wait in God's timing. And God will have the right person for you at the right time if you're going to trust him. You see the waiting. There was prayer, there was patience. You see the walking, and I've mentioned this a few times in the past, but look down to verse 27. And if I could say, there's a key here tonight, here's the key. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left my master destitute of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And maybe tonight, young person, you're saying, Lord, lead me, and that's good. But what about being in the way? Let me paint the picture again. The servant was living a life of obedience to his master. He was in step with his master's will. He was going according to his master's plan. And he says, I being in the way, I being in the will of the master, the Lord led me. You see, if you're not living close to the Lord, see, if you're not in that good relationship with the Lord, that's not a time to make a decision who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You want to be able to say, I being in the way, the Lord led me, that you might have that confidence because you're close to the Lord. And you're getting that guidance and direction from the Lord. And you can say, I being in the way, as far as I'm concerned, there's no unknown sin. There's no unrepented sin. I'm trying to live a life of obedience. I try to fellowship with the people of God. I want to go on with the Lord. I want to grow in my Christian faith. I want to be in the way. Listen, if you're in the way, the Lord will lead you. See if you're out of the way. And then you start to make your own way. Well, that can lead to disaster. Can we be sure? Yes, there's a waiting. Prayer and patience. And there's a walking. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And then there's something wonderful here, and with this I'm going to finish. Look at verse 1 in Genesis 24. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham. Here's the blessing of God. Now go to the very last verse of the chapter, way down to verse number 67. You have the blessing of God at the beginning of the chapter. Look what you have at the end of the chapter. And Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent. This is the reunion. He has met Rebekah, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. You see, at the beginning you have the blessing of God the Father. See, at the end, you have the love of the Son. And see if you can get your relationship with the blessing of the Father and the love of the Son. How can you have the blessing of the Father? By being in the way. By living according to God's way. And you can have the blessing of God. And you want to display the love of the Son. You see, to meet a fellow who will love you like Christ loves you. What a treasure. What a treasure. You see, to meet a young lady that loves the Lord. The proverb says her price is way above rubies. She's priceless. Priceless. Abraham's wife was called Sarah. Sarah means a princess. Let me say tonight, there's a princess for you, man. And God is a treasure for you, young woman. But are you prepared to pray, to be patient, and to walk the way God wants you to walk? And then as we say at every wedding, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing marriage can be. I've told the story before about the couple who were married for 50 years and someone said to the husband, "Boy, that's a long time. I'll be married 30 years next year." I'll tell you, it is a long time. But do you know this? It would have been a lot longer without her. And I wouldn't have wanted to go through it without her. And that man was the same. He said, "It would have been awful longer without her." What a blessing a marriage can be. And that's my prayer for our young people. And that's the church's prayer for the young people. And next week we'll look at some of the nuts and bolts, some of the things that perhaps do's and don'ts, and something a little bit more about dating and courtship. What's the difference? Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you know our situations tonight. And Lord, for many in the meeting who are married tonight, Lord, give us a fresh appreciation of our husbands and our wives. Help us to thank God for them and be thankful for God ever bringing them into our lives. Lord, there's young people here, and Lord, someday they'll have to make a decision. Someday someone will say, "Will you go with this man? Will you go with this woman?" Lord, we pray that when it comes to that point, they'll have this confidence, this assurance that this relationship comes with the blessing of God and with the love of the Son all around it. Help our young people. Protect them, Lord. Lord, you know my heart for some in my own family. Lord, I don't want it to happen to these young people. Will you be with them? Will you help them? Give them all the help they need. Lord, may we be, as a church, never be a stumbling block to our young people. Help us to be a stepping stone. Bless thy word to our hearts. And Lord, if there's any here tonight who have never made that most important decision and they're still out of Christ, Lord, will you speak to them tonight? Because how they need the Lord. Mothers need the Lord. Fathers need the Lord. Young people need the Lord. God forbid that any here would seek to live another day without Christ. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.